I'm recording yet. I'll talk to that again.
Oh, of course.
Like, you keep asking the same question, but we haven't recorded yet. Record right now? Oh. Whoops.
Oh, wow.
Ask the question.
I'm on mute, man.
Yeah, please. No, I'm talking about the personas, like, that to actually have the emotional energy to come into work every day and put on a different mask.
No, but it's
not a mask. I'm not speaking slang at the office, at the wild, important board meeting.
Okay, fair. Like, obviously.
Hey, yo, Keith, what are you telling, man? You're good, yeah?
Yeah, what are you saying, though? You're good. And the kids and that.
What are you saying, though, Cuddy?
You mind you, yeah? 5 o'clock for foot, yeah? Cool. I can't do that at work, though. You gotta
I'm not
be
expecting
like...
you to do that at work.
No, but for me, it's instinctive. So he'll say, you're right here. I'll be like, yeah, how's your weekend, mate? You want what's standing with fucking shit, mate?
Yeah. Automatic.
I've never been to Essex in my life. Maybe once. Automatic. With like,
yeah, it's automatic. I'm not lying. It's like a second nature now.
But how did you learn the second nature?
Growing up in London.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've grown up in London. I've never had that. I never felt that.
You talk like that already.
You talk like that already.
No, but it's not even just the talking. It's like even the type of conversation you have. Like, what? I would not even bother to talk.
That's
about
just
that.
Small talk, though.
Yeah, maybe it's like, yeah.
Small talk is like ingrained in like masculine culture. Like when you see a guy, you don't really know him too tough. You just talk about anything.
How's
like,
your mum? She good? Yeah. Cool. Done.
You're on food? Yeah.
Yeah. Is that done? Yeah, man.
I see. No, I can't get my head around that.
No, but speaking about people in the workplace and changing yourself, did you see that Russell Howard thing, the video?
I saw it all over social media. Explain to us.
It was popping off. Basically, some kind of charity released a booklet about how to adapt and talk around black people in the workplace.
Yeah, I saw that on TV.
And he found it like a mad idea. He's like, oh, I can't believe it. Like, no one is that stupid not to have to approach a black person in such a manner like that. He didn't think it went on. But it's a day-to-day thing. Like, people touch black people's hair. You can...
Yeah, of course they do that.
I've had women like stretch my arm at work and be like, "Oh, you got muscles." Man's skinny. I don't have muscles. Don't worry, like
stretch your arm. What do you do after?
Yeah,
you took their number. Yeah, the ad on this fuck guy like some righteous guy. What do you do after?
In Subway.
What did you do? What? Stop drinking your drink. I asked you a question.
Nah, bro, I didn't do anything. I was like, let me cut.
He asked for their snap.
I was just like, don't touch me.
Let me cut this bread. Bro.
He asked for their snap. That's what he did.
I didn't have snap till last year.
Okay.
Really?
You don't have snap now. Why are you asking me the question?
Yeah, but still.
Just for the viewers, no, Adobe, what are they? A has got a Motorola, don't know what series.
What's that thing that people used to use emails for in like 1990?
Yeah, she got a beeper.
She got PDA.
She got what Will Smith had in Fresh Prince.
The little stylus.
I know. Her phone's got I don't know, like, I don't think she's got earphone jack, so.
Well, in the restaurant when she was like, my earphone that don't work, and she turned around.
She kept humming songs, so I don't think she's got
She ain't got headphones.
That phone is a write-off, hey, yo. It was like a calculator, man. Listen, man. Let me introduce the podcast, man. What's good? What's good? Welcome to the Down in Diaspora.
Wow.
Listen, man. What's it? Diaspora.
Down in Diaspora, people.
Down in Diaspora.
He's been drinking a bit.
Yeah, I've been drinking. We're in Black Kite Studios right now, sipping Moscato. It's about the finer things in life, you know. Chilling back on the sofa with my colleagues. Do you want to introduce yourselves? Yeah.
You want to go first?
You go first.
All right. Hi, guys. I'm Harry. I'm the co-host and producer of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the brains behind it, obviously. But
you can have that title still, yeah. You put in work still. I just showed up. Go on.
I like something with Aaron Emos, but we'll get into that in a bit.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a bit.
I'm A, and I'm co-host, and I help with some of the creative ideas in the back. Don't I, Harry?
I'm J, and I just turned up. So, yeah. Let's get on to the first topic. Then.
Man came late as well.
There was a terror attack.
There was no terror attack.
The Northern Land was slow, man.
There was no terror attack. There was no gunshot.
To show you how much of a scumbag Jonathan is, yeah, or Jay, how much of a scumbag he is, man messaged me saying, I've been held underground. I'm two stops away. We saw 17 different train people, like journeys, come in through
and
the barriers.
Mal
was still not there. He was not two stops away.
Listen,
he was in the bath. Mal was taking a bath. He was scrubbing his back in there.
Really? If God wanted me to be there at 5:30, I would have been there at 5:30.
And then
we're here now, innit?
A man asked me what time, and then I told him the time. He's talking late.
Anyway, on to the first topic. Let's talk about this video. All right.
Russell Howard, which one?
The one you posted in the group. The couple.
Ah, right. Okay, so I think he posted this on Facebook. It was a bit stupid, but it was an interracial couple.
Yeah.
Black man, white woman.
Yeah.
I won't say the quintessential interracial couple, but it's the most likely one to be seen.
Yeah.
So they were doing some kind of vlog thing for YouTube, trying to, you know, secure the bag.
Shout out to the vlog couples.
Come on. And she's like, this is how you talk to a black person. Her first words were, what's up, nigga? We're going to the store.
Ew.
My guy froze. He did not speak. He just like, nothing. he looked comfortable with it. Like she said to him on a daily basis. It got me thinking, what would you do if your partner addressed you like that?
I don't turn some people on though. You might, some man might like getting, I don't know, state what's names, on the back of that.
State
or,
names.
Some man, listen, shout out to the man in, I can't even do that. But yeah, man, yeah, it might be a turn on, but I won't lie. Like, we all went to the University of York, which is quite, it's not the most diverse university. So I experienced a different type of racism because growing up in London, I knew racism as someone calls you something in the street or someone looks at, something like that. Whereas in York, like, if I'm honest, before university, H, I don't know if you'll agree, as a guy, you're like, okay, I'm going to do a mad thing. I'm gonna do numbers, innit? Then you realise that what certain girls are saying to you, or certain, I say non-black girls are saying to you in clubs, you don't see it as offensive and racist because you think you're gaining something out of it. But then it's only when you realise after that,
when you wake up.
Yeah, you should not. They don't say wake up. I didn't wake up with anyone.
No, I woke up in the morning. I feel dirty, bro. Go slapping your ass and like, telling you, like, nice one. See you tomorrow. Like,
stop. But then you realise, though, like, certain things people be whispering to you. Like, it's not, you're seeing they want your da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, yo, like, you don't want me. You just want my, skin.
That's a big black cock. That's what you're talking about, people.
Okay. Yeah, he said it, not me, innit? But, bro. Yeah, man, what's wrong with the man them? Like, just like in Kuda and that. Shout out to Kuda Tiki Bar. I was there. Whispering, talking.
Jonathan's talking about Kuda right now. Yeah, his life was a movie in there. Let me tell you the first time I saw my guy in Kuda. Basically, I was in there with my dusty clothes, wearing my jacket in the club, hat in the club. I look over, I see one guy in a suit, looking hella smooth.
Suit.
One 6'3" guy. Yeah.
I bet you. Man,
looking at Biggie, bro. Yeah. Bear goes around him.
They call me 007.
Bear goes around him, yeah. Taking life's pictures, respect, posing, and they're like, "Who's this done?
Yeah,
what's he on?"
That's how I met you in the club.
Oh, you got a
big girls that were curving me, yeah, were running over to shake his hand. And now, like, who's the celeb? Let me go chat to him.
Sometimes you gotta let him kiss the ring, man.
My hat goes kissing his ring, like.
It's about respect. Oh, bro, you know.
My experience is probably different to yours, still, because it was weird. I'm a bit of a weird person. Like, I tried to pattern my first encounter with a girl before I got to York, innit?
The hell? What, on the Facebook group?
Yeah.
Shout out to my bro Kewe. Me and him were active on that Uni of York 2014 Fresher page.
You know about them ones.
Come on, man.
If I had my accommodation and the law one.
Ah, yeah. So I was like, shout out to all them tabs that opened.
I was just slithering through them tabs. Like. So I tried to pattern my first encounter with a girl that way. It went to plan-ish, didn't quite work. But then I felt like everyone York was just racist from the jump because God didn't want to chat to me. I was that ignorant. I thought, all right, these girls don't chat to me. Like, they're so racist. But it's because I was wearing dusty clothes. I was wearing jeans that I bought when I was 15 in the club when I was 19. Yeah, like, I was wearing dusty Air Force.
Living a bit mad, yeah.
When the student finance came in, that's when I hit the glow up from Urban Outfitters.
But, you know, you're talking about your experiences in York, but for right now, H, you're dating someone who is not white English.
How are you going to do that? Well, you're right.
She really took it there.
They aren't. Persons of colour.
That's my babe, bro. What are you talking
about?
Exactly,
but so this type of video we saw isn't really common for most people in their
what she's saying is, has your girl ever called you the N-word?
My girl would never, bro. You know how respectful she is.
Well, then in that case, should it be a case that for most black men, in actual reality, providing they put good partners, whether they're black, white, or Asian, they would never have to be faced to be the nigger?
I'll put it this way, yeah. There are different ways of racism in a relationship working. There's the explicit forms like that of the girl just cursing them out using flagrant language, the N-word, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then there's the power relationship a girl can think she has because she's non-black and the man's black.
Yeah.
So certain girls in York would date man just for image, for the fact that he's black.
I know.
But that's different.
But then I feel like quite a few of the men in York, the black men, would know it and still participate.
That's the journey I went on.
Which for me makes me look at you just as, in fact, even worse than she is.
Carl, I want to snuff you, bro. I'm just talking about my personal life in the podcast.
Ah, she drew him out. Oh, well, that's the journey I went on at university. From freshers and then halfway through first year, I realised that, you know, I need to think better of myself because I can't just let...
This boy can lie.
The views of Harry are not the view of the Down in Diaspora podcast.
I can't even say the name. Do you believe him? You can't even pronounce the word.
I can type it in it. That's what matters.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, man. But I guess the older you get, you have to decide within yourself, are you happy to be the token black person in a relationship? She just posts you all over social media to show how liberal she is.
Shout out my boy. He knows who he is.
Yeah, you, shout out to P.
He's living, wow.
He's living
wow,
his movie, wow, which is Get Out. But yeah, so,
I said Get Out. I said Get Out.
Yeah, man. But I guess, yeah, man, you just got to, it comes with age. Like, you just need to appreciate who you want to be.
This is why I find it interesting because, okay, so I have a younger brother. And
how old is he?
He is 18 now.
Oh, he's in DMs, yeah.
So, ooh, and obviously I'm 20 now. But from a young, young age. Midfielder
in the DMs.
Oh, yeah, come on, man.
Kante.
From a young, young age, my mum always told me, don't be anyone's experiment, which was her way of kind of saying, like, if white guys move to you, be extra cautious and picky. Because
my mum never told me that.
No, but then it's different for us with guys.
And I've noticed that with the black boys, they don't necessarily get that, which means that as a black girl, I will be a bit more cautious to the way a white guy approaches me and what they say to me to get with me, because I know that there's a lot of complexities when it comes to interracial relationship, especially if it's black female, white male. But I always used to find it really weird how black men would always miss it.
I hear what you're saying, but I don't agree. I don't agree with the principal fact that when I was doing my UCAS, a couple of my guys, they know who they are, they were talking to me about how I wanted to go to be the token black guy, and how so a lot of people they are conscious of the fact that they could be the token black guy. And they're willing to exploit it. I won't lie, yeah. I didn't really get girls in college like that because I was pre-glow up. It wasn't a good time for me.
But then to exploit being... How can you exploit when you're the minority? You're like...
What do you mean?
By default, you're powerless. You're not the majority.
Nah, I don't... No. You can't exploit the people. You can exploit the situation. So someone can realise that someone's like using them for something and you can flip it and use them straight back. So if I deep that you're going to use them for sex, yeah, am I going to stop like... In reality, maybe now, in hindsight, I would stop.
Yeah.
But at the time, if people are throwing it your way and you know that they're only doing it because you're black,
the beat's a beat.
But then at the same time, yeah, I thought beat was a beat, like, I'll do
yeah
it.
That's what I, yeah.
Because I'm the one who gets to go back to the man that I'm boasting, but you're the one that's going to be like moving all different.
You don't know she's in the group chat saying, when guess who pulled a blackie.
When I curve you in the club, yeah, like, now you'd be crying, like, tell me you're in love with me and stuff like that.
I don't know.
I feel like that's coming from a deep place, but, you know, I won't ask you any more questions about that. Did someone come up to you in the club and say that?
Some girls will punch a man's face in the club.
Wow. Man. But shout out to them, you know, they fell in love early, you know.
You're pig. I must have shout out to my hip. Oh, wow.
Yeah, but is there, did you ever experience a white guy approaching you and you think it was something?
Hello, chocolate darling. You what there?
No, because, okay, I'm not really, I've never really.
My Nubian queen.
Harry, get me.
I said Henry, who's that?
I said Harry.
Oh, okay. Sorry, go. Talk.
No, I mean, no, I've never really been in a place with a large white male majority in recreational terms. So like in the club.
What school?
My school was all white, but it was all girls' school.
Okay. Oh, same.
Since age 4. So I've never really in a place where I communicated with white guys in a level where something like that could happen.
So you're never
and on top
me
of that, I didn't particularly, they're not my first preference. But when I got into first year, that's when I did have my first encounter with someone white. And
on the show, but on the podcast first, really.
And to be honest, it wasn't, he didn't say anything racial, but he did say something like really...
Undertones.
No, he said something very interesting.
What did he say?
This is another guy actually in a club that I didn't have anything with. He was just like, out of the blue, he was just like, you shouldn't date someone black.
Ah, and that's racist. What? Man said it wasn't racist.
Let me finish.
Oh, sorry. Let me
and I said, I can't remember how we got there, but he said, you shouldn't date anyone black. And I said, what do you mean? And he was like, you know, like I dated a black girl once. His ex was black and he was just saying like I'd seen how her other exes had treated her badly and they were black. And I think, you know, people aren't dumb and they're not blind. So when maybe black men, not all black men, are saying certain things about dark skin, light skin, this or that.
Yeah.
And the certain ways that some girls are treated in a relationship, and it could be, you know, connected to the fact of their skin tone or the fact that they think less of them because they're black females, whatever. He just saw it as a lose-lose situation, that if you're a black guy and you can get out with a white guy, you might as well take that as a better start.
So should I give you my truth from that?
What?
Should I give you my truth from that, what you just told me, the situation, what I think he really meant? You might be doing some Captain America thing, telling you, oh,
yeah,
he
wants to save you, and yeah. I'm not really here for that, but I just
found... Who are we? Like, who some are villains?
Exactly. But I did think it was quite interesting for someone to have the quote-unquote vim to say it so openly to someone who's black.
And you didn't slap him?
I was shocked. Like, I remember just sitting there, like, would you... And rather than slap him, I wanted to give him enough, you know, rope to tie himself with.
Wow.
And... But to him, it was a very plain and simple situation. Like, he was essentially trying to say to me, don't limit your options. White guy could possibly treat you better. Move on.
Is he all right?
And I was just like, and the reason why I actually didn't slap him is that you sometimes hear that narrative from other black females as well. So you just kind of think,
I see that on social media, like, get you a white guy.
I don't blame it, but also being in York, some of the ways some of the black boys, at least in my year, moved, or I saw them, or I perceived them to move, sometimes you kind of just thought, you know what, then you're here for you. You're not here to save everyone else. Look
way
good.
Too much about the black kids stand up. The way I think it is,
I think we should have a tea spillage camp, but carry on.
I can't reconcile what he said with not being racist.
Yeah.
The thing is, any girl can have a bad experience with her ex. It's not because he's black. He might be a bad guy because he's a bad guy, not because he's black.
Yeah.
You have to separate colour from personality.
Of course you can separate colour from personality, and I can do that, and I still do. But I think when you see media, stories, whether it be real life or just a TV show, single black mother, father's gone off this or that, unfortunately, they're just continuous stereotypes showing...
Yeah, that's every Tyler Perry movie, man.
Black men and black women unable to work in a functional relationship. Yeah. To the point, and then when they do show a black woman a functional relationship or semi-functional, it's always with a white male. And I think people pick up on that, whether they be black, white, Asian, and they use it to say their own views, and then you get nonsense on social media of certain black women saying, don't date white black men, it's useless, X, Y, Z, A, B, C. So it wasn't, I couldn't really... It's not that I couldn't slap him, but it was more of a case is that I couldn't act like I hadn't heard it before from people who were like me. I was just so shocked that he had the confidence and also knowledge to say it quite openly to someone else. But that was when I was in Newcastle and I was only there for a night out, came back to York. So
Newcastle men are crazy though.
And I kind of stewed over that for a bit. I just thought it was very interesting that he, whatever he seen, he picked it up. And he felt passionate enough to say it, tell a random girl.
Or he just wanted to beat and he thought, let me discredit black.
And that's good. He could want to beat, but either way, that's a very, very complicated way to go around to go and beat someone.
It's really not.
It's his child. It might not have worked with you, but...
If you see a black girl, black men are trash, beat me. It's not like it didn't work for you because you have something there in your brain. Like, you knew what to say to the guy. We had to react with it. But certain men are using that chat line.
He scored a few goals with that line still.
What happens with that?
Screaming.
I mean, I don't know, but I do see that. I mean, back to the original question that Jay asked. I feel like, I mean, I don't know for other black girls, but I think firstly, not many black girls that I know of have white male preference, at least first.
I know a decent number.
Okay, you know a decent number, but I don't.
Some of them, you know them, some of them. Some of them, your friends.
But... Yeah, 2 out of like 12.
More like 6, yeah. Okay.
The tea spillage count is rising.
Either way, I just think that it's also not glamorized as much, white male, black female relationships anyways. So it's not something that I think, because I feel like quite a few of the girls in York try and replicate what they see on TV and what they perceive to be cool.
Should we go work for this little segment? Should I give my little piece of knowledge on it?
Go on.
But what I think is that certain systems, I don't know whoever it's like governments or stuff, they see the power in a black relationship. So they try to think, how can I destroy this? Different ways you can do that through media. So you can portray an image where the black man deserts his family for the white woman. That's really prevalent. There are also certain elements where it's like self-fulfilling prophecy. If you see on TV constantly a black man leaving a family for a white woman, you'll think...
That's the better route to
You'll think about it. You'll grow contempt for it. So that's how all these conversations get birthed in the first place, from my opinion. Like, we see a lot of stuff on TV. We take it, internalize it. And then we react to it and just use it in our everyday life. So I know that most black couples, I know a lot of black couples still.
Yeah.
But from the way social media goes about it, even on Instagram, click on Instagram, your feed, you won't see that many fully black couples. You see a lot of interracial couples.
Hey, do you see yourself in a serious relationship with someone who isn't black? Also, for context, A is black. Yeah, go on.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like we have it. Yeah,
it's not been.
Yeah. Wow, I think it's quite obvious.
He's a Nubian queen.
Go on. What do you see yourself with a non-black person?
I don't know. Right now, no, but I don't say never say never.
Justin Timberlake.
I don't like Justin Timberlake.
You don't like who?
I don't like Justin Timberlake.
I was listening to, what's that song with Clips?
I won't lie. Baby, baby. Wow. He has good songs, but I don't like him. The only songs you like by Justin Timberlake is due to Timberland Productions, really.
Do you want to get to me?
What's your point?
I think he's a vulture in the room. Like,
if Timberlake proposes to you,
I think I think Justin Timberlake is a culture vulture. And after what he did to Janet Jackson, the first
relax.
I'm not really for him.
We're doing ESPN out here, bro.
He's a good thing. He's good at what he does, but personally, like, I don't vibe with him like that.
So the answer is no. You wouldn't.
I don't know. Would you?
Mine's asked for the question. Yeah, flip it on this guy here. This pagan.
What would I be with her?
You guys need to realize that I feel like, especially in the UK, at least from what I know, if you are someone who's a black male, you go out with a white woman, no one really questions you about that.
That is a lie.
But if you are a black woman,
if you're a black woman and you go out with someone white,
you get asked a million questions.
No, that's a lie.
Like I need other
black people. You haven't lived it. I'll be walking down the street with my girl, yeah? And when I say, it's weird, but when someone tells me white, like I told you about it, like, earlier on, I think they mean English.
Yeah.
So I don't really deep that she's white in that sense.
Yeah.
But she is.
She technically is, but he associates the word white with English, whereas is where is your girlfriend from?
Wow, we're gonna have to bleep that.
Swear.
Wow, bro. Wow. Do you want her pin number as well? Man, just do that. Like, do you want her name? Like, the way I see it is, we'll be walking down anywhere, Oxford Circus, Tottenham Court Road,
yeah.
I will see maybe 15 people.
Yeah.
And they'll be giving me screw face.
Yeah.
Are they mainly men or women?
No, I quite like men don't really do it too tough.
No.
And I don't want to say it's a black woman thing in the sense that they're being like hateful. Cause I don't think they are.
Yeah, I'm not going to tie this to a bigger point, but I will say this, that when I was with, when I'm with my best friend, Caitlin, who is white.
Shout out to Caitlin from Edmund.
Shout out to Caitlin. I'm local, but I'm not going to back her.
Edmund,
but
listen, done wow.
Yeah, when I'm with Caitlin, I'm just going somewhere. Like, I do get looks. Obviously, people don't know that she's not my girlfriend, but like, we do get looks as if, like...
Wait, let me down a drink.
Sorry, Black Cat Studio offering more drinks. He's so
shout out Chris at Black Cat Studio.
He came right through
with
it.
He came through with the burp.
I gave a flipping gallon.
What's that,
bourbon
or bobbin? What's that? What's pronounce that?
You know, Reed, you must say bobbin.
Who's that?
I'm sorry, guys, if you didn't deep it, yeah? Jay is from South London. He's a South.
Wait, no, who's bourbon? Wait.
So obviously, man,
is it bourbon?
A whole law degree, and you can't read, bro.
Is it whiskey? That's a biscuit, bro.
The whiskey came before the biscuit.
Hey, bourbon's a biscuit anyway.
Why are you doing etymology?
But listen, yeah, we get looks, and I don't want to tie it to a bigger point because I'm not going to put that on everyone.
Because it's not vicious.
I just feel they've been conditioned
to see it in a negative light, which I do understand. I get it, but for me, like, I'm not with her because she's white. I'm not with her because any, like, you know what I mean?
You know what it is, especially, okay. One thing I will say is obviously the type of school I went to is all white women, girls were now women. And unfortunately, and even when I was at university, especially the first year, when you'd hear these white girls who had slept with black men talk about it, whether it be, you know, at break between lectures or seminars, it would be seen as some sort of experiment. And the way they would speak about some of my mates would actually be really, really, really...
It's like they fetishize us.
Really, fetishizing to the point that it made me feel uncomfortable.
But wait, can I ask you a question?
But you didn't know what to say because the boys allowed it and they happily,
ask you a question. Yeah? Let me deviate from it slightly. So you heard people getting like reviews almost. So where you get...
It isn't reviews.
What I'm trying to ask you, did you hear any positive reviews about Jonathan?
Ah! Okay, change the topic. Okay. my soul left my chest. I don't know what's in this bourbon drink. Okay.
RedandNigga.com. RedandNigga.
All right.
No, it wasn't even performance. Like, performance is common. Like, I think both sexes, they'll talk about the performance of whoever they slept with. But it would be more based on, I remember there was a boy. I'm going to call him Jay, because there's no one called Jay at our university.
Peter.
There's
someone called Jay sat right next to you. Say another name, please.
Oh, my God, not you. Let's call him, Simon.
Yeah.
Let's call him Simon. And instead of saying that, I slept with Simon. He was this, he was that, his stroke was that. It would be like, I slept with a black man.
She really meant it.
It's my first time with a black man. Is this with a black man? It was just so weird. It was so focused on him being black rather than him being the boy that you slept with. And it was very based on the blackness.
It was my first time with a white girl. I told the man them as well. But I get what you mean.
And it's just weird. And I just think that for some of them, they may sleep with you and say all these things, but there's a lack of respect.
Okay, so moving forward, let's take a little pause and jump back, yeah? Because I felt we didn't introduce ourselves properly. They don't want to speak to how they got to be on the podcast or their ideas about how you landed in this.
Wait till I release my book, innit?
Wow.
Yeah, Harry shouted me, July. He replied to something on my snap and he was like, yo, you should do media. And I was like, trust, I know that.
Wow.
And then he was like, yeah, then just evolved over time. Then eventually he said that he's really trying to do this podcast thing. Shouted me in August and then said that he thinks he's going to invite Adobe and Ben, who you haven't met yet. And yeah, so then here we are. I think it's a good platform for us to express these opinions because I think over time, since we've left university, we've had time to reflect on our experiences and what it is to be black. And we've really fleshed out my understanding of what it is to be black British. And yeah, this is a good platform to do that. What about you guys?
Same.
I can say pretty much same. No. I mean, me and Adobe or A, I'll bleep out your name, don't worry. It's weird. I can't remember. The first time I met her, she was in a club as well. I meet everyone in raves. I don't know.
Did you move to her?
No.
Why not? Is it because she's black?
She was with my flatmate. Wow. She was chilling with my flatmate.
Okay, don't, like,
chilling.
With Gifty.
Oh, yeah. I was with Fatima and Gifty.
She was a friend.
That was that mad night with that girl trying to move to you. You pushed her to the
Can
floor.
Can you realize?
You pushed her to the floor.
Yes. Wow. Her wig shifted.
You're a sick man. Is that what you're doing?
Her wig shifted.
You say hello.
No, listen, okay.
Did you not like the way she said it or something?
No, you're talking about like, oh my God.
All she did was
bang her over, bro. Like, this club we went to, I won't say the name. They're known to hire girls to pretend to move to you to give you, like, the.
Really?
Hire girls?
Girl, you know she wasn't hired because you know
she was hired, bro. I'll say her name on the podcast. If you want to say it right now?
Say her name on the podcast.
Say no. Oh, you can't caught your tongue.
Are you mad, Tanya? that's you. You know who you are.
Shout out to Tanya.
You were getting some girls were getting a wage salary off, like being.
No, but Tanya just moved to loads of boys around uni. She was known as a crazy.
She just finished
nut.
Her e-c- degree.
She didn't even go to. No.
She didn't even go to. She lied.
Oh my God. Oh. I feel like there's actually a Tanya that does like. Oh my God.
She needed to buy bread at uni. She did what she had to do.
This club was paying girls to move to my.
I do not believe
it. And I was a faithful black young king. Have my girl at home, wait for me to come back.
He's a king.
This girl was all over, man. I was like, hey, can you relax? That's what happened.
Harry was just trying to push this girl off. The girl wouldn't leave him alone. And then the girl was trying to move to your friend to try and make you look jealous. It was just one mess. But I just said, yeah, Harry's a savage. That's the first thing I found when I met you.
Before we ruined.
Her wig shifted when she fell on the floor, mate. Okay. Her wig shifted.
She didn't fall on the floor.
Yes, she did.
You want me to catch a case? Like, you're talking like when I saw her go on the floor,
listen, man.
Then I'm going to go back over CCTV. I didn't touch
it. There's warrants pending. Let's change the subject, man.
Anyway,
so, how do we feel about how university defined our understanding of racism generally, not just in relationships?
You mean like how we integrated in?
Yeah, essentially.
All right, so I think the way you have to know about York as a uni, it's split in two halves. There's Hez West and Hez East.
Same campus, just two different sides.
Yeah, basically. Hez East is the nice part.
Shout out to Langwith's accommodation.
Constantine,
you know. I was living my best life.
Deluxe ensuite. But, you know, I think the biggest mistake I made was jumping into luxury accommodation, that kind of thing there, because girls just assumed the wild things.
What did they assume?
But because I'm Nigerian, obviously.
Yeah.
These girls must have thought that my dad was like some kind of.
Because some people listen, shout out to, I won't even say names, shout out to my Ghanaian mate and my Angolan mate.
Wow, you already said their names.
They were living their best lives, you know.
Certain men are buying girls like lubes.
Shout out to him, you know. He likes Cardi B, you know. Hey. But listen,
wow.
What I will say is this.
Cardi B.
What I will say is this, you know, I went to a school which was 98% black, and I'm literally saying
so the majority minority.
Yeah, so my understanding of you know, in school, you know, we were all black, but outside looking in, you might not think there's differences between us. Whereas really and truly, it was Africans versus Caribbeans. Even within Africans, it was Nigerians versus Ghanaians. Within Nigerians, it was Yoruba or Yoruba.
So even the things that used to be said across, and
shout out to everyone. I'm Congolese. Shout out to everyone that dissed my shoes and that. But listen, they got kicked in the knee pad, so they know how that felt. But yeah, so even though we were all black, we understood that there were still differences between us. We saw under the umbrella of being black, but there's still differences between us. However, I didn't consider how that dynamic worked outside of a secondary school or a college, which isn't majority black. Let me say my next point. So at university, you know that whole, I've got a black friend, so I thought I could run joke with you. Now, I didn't consider whether, if there's two black people in your class and your class full of white people, that black person might not mind when his race is the butt of the joke. Or the classic, if someone takes a picture in a club and then you're like, oh, it's a flash on, we might not see him. He might have a friend back home, he doesn't mind.
You're really telling the truth right now, man.
They might have a friend who doesn't mind them saying that. So then I had the thing where I had to go to my boy and say, yo, I don't really want to spin his jaw, like, because he might not mean it like that, but I do have to tell him, you can do that joke with Tunde, but not me, because we're not at that stage and my boundaries are different to yours.
So
to
are
your
you
mates.
Saying that when integrating to a white majority university like York was, you found that within your own race, you had people almost, because maybe the lack of black people that they were, when they found someone who's black, they pushed, they stepped over boundaries that they probably wouldn't have if they were in London or in a majority. That's an interesting point. That's actually a really interesting point. And to be honest, I feel like I felt that too, because I came from all white. Like, I had no black friends before I came to uni because of my environment.
Yeah.
So I was very determined to, like, have black friends at university, because I was just
I never noticed.
You go into York to have black friends.
I know. Well, I mean, it's not... It's
other
not
places you could have went, but...
There are other places, but I'm here now.
Anywhere. Yeah, go on, make your point, go on.
I'm here now, and actually there are quite a few black people in my year. Enough. I'm not expected to make a squad.
Yeah.
But one or two or three, like...
Yeah, I've got a squad, though, don't lie.
I have got a squad now, but that was not my initial point.
Malta 2018.
So, but the point was that when I got there, I did learn that actually not all skin folk is kinfolk. And one of the reasons why was that even though we were black, or both Nigerian and whatnot, you would think you're vibing. You sometimes subconsciously force it, but you realise that actually I don't really need to be with that type of person or want to be with that type of person. And that got me into so much issues in first year, because I was essentially mixing with people that well and truly I shouldn't have, but I did it over the point of race.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is something interesting, because normally when you talk about integration, you talk about how you felt within a white majority place.
Yeah.
But actually, it kind of pinpointed a little bit more about mixing in with other black people from different types of backgrounds and different types of cultures.
All right, I've got a question for Jay. Basically, I remember, like, strongly, I used to be kind of jealous of you, the way you could mix with white people at uni.
Yeah.
Because basically, in my friendship group, everyone was black apart from one white guy.
Yeah.
Shout out Ed.
Yeah. But I've read the articles.
What? The infamous.
Yeah, go on, carry on.
Basically, I saw how this guy moved in, like, social situations. Like, the white community, you know, was very welcoming of you, almost. Which is interesting, because we're from similar backgrounds in that sense. But
yeah.
I felt like I had to almost reject the white community or their attempts to try and, like, make friends with me to feel like I was keeping it real with my friends.
Did you feel like they were, you being friends with them was threatening you being black, or
like my black masculinity? Yeah. As such. Okay. Ooh, that's a question. Not as such. I felt as if I didn't want to. I was more conscious of outside, so I was kept. I was aware of, like, people knew I went to York. They knew that I went to this white uni. I didn't want to be the guy that went to a white uni and had suddenly, like, 25 white friends in a picture, looking like with my relaxed hair, the typical black sheep.
Okay.
All that.
Shout out to the black guys with relaxed hair.
Leave it.
In YO10, you're living your best life. But listen, I've seen the club pictures.
So I'm relaxing now.
Okay. The tea count. Okay, let's relax now. but yeah, that's a good point. But I won't. If I'm being honest with myself, there did come a stage in second and third year where I felt. Actually, let me step back a second. So you know Roadman Shaq, Big Shaq. You know how. He's. I'm gonna land.
Who's paying this guy to shout him out on the podcast, bro?
But listen, so Big Shaq, he's very popular across all communities, all backgrounds. Roadman Shaq, the thing goes.
That one.
Yeah.
Michael Dapper.
Okay.
Wow.
Dapper.
Now I'm proud of him. Proud of how far he's come. But I do understand that the reason he's so popular is because he's people's first introduction to someone quote unquote from the ends, someone quote unquote hood. Now, the issue that comes with that is they now assume that everyone who wears a puffer jacket and anyone who speaks slang is now a roadman. So I didn't know when. So that's just the underlying thing. But I don't know when I was at uni. Okay, I'm fairly charismatic. But are you just happy to have a black friend? Are you just happy? Because people did say that to me, like, shout out to, I can't even say his name, but shout out to him. He came up to me, said, oh, I've got a black friend now. No, I've never had a black friend. I was like, yo, you still don't, like,
wow.
Yeah, the way he come up with me, like, he's moving a bit mad on that. So
I think a lot of people, especially because one thing I noticed about going to York was that it wasn't just white people, but they were white people who weren't from any type of city. Some of them were from London, but a lot of them were from places like Wakefield or little towns outside of Manchester, where they didn't even see other people who were non, like, you know, who were of colour. Everyone they saw was white.
Yeah.
Therefore, it was really hard, especially for me to integrate, because they had, in my opinion, no culture. They didn't know anything. Ooh. All they knew was you know,
bangers and mash.
Literally, bangers and mash.
There's nothing wrong with bangers and mash. So
when they came and saw other people who were of other colours and other cultures, I know she was with white people. I feel like sometimes
they latched on.
No, it's not that they latch on, but they want to be seen. Everyone wants to be seen in a good light. Yeah. So it's almost as if, okay, if I get a few people of colour as friends, I check off the list of not being seen as racist, and they'll go and find out the most stereotypical character that they feel or the person that fits the stereotypical traits, but to tick it off and be like, okay, yeah, I've got my black friend, this one's from the hood, I've got my sassy black female friend, da 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 da, and move on. And I feel like it was up to the black people in York to come in and say, am I going to take this or not? And I decided to say no, because
can I pull you out on that?
Doesn't benefit you at all.
You just kind of contradicted yourself. You said they had no experience with black people, yet they have a checklist.
They have a checklist from what they see from the media.
But what I will say, why I do agree with her is people wanted a picture all the time.
They wanted a picture to show to their friends.
Man's not a celebrity. People wanted pictures all the time. People wanted me on their snap. People taking sneaky snaps of me just to show, oh, here's my black friend.
No, but I can't lie. You played into it though, because you're wearing a suit. So,
but sometimes he's coming in.
The suit stuff. It was an event that I went to.
You knew what you were doing. From Treasurer. That was from
Treasurer. I saw someone in the suit every other week, bro. I knew what he was doing.
Life's about respect, you know. You just have to dress respectfully when you see someone. I was wearing bow ties.
I just think
be the best version of ourselves, you know.
I think with York, it was either a case of people either decide to integrate or assimilate. And I think some people were in some weird limbo between the two where, you know,
can you just define integrate and assimilate?
So integrate is when you just... you mix in with people of other cultures or races with you, but in my opinion, you still maintain your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst when you assimilate, you almost morph into their identity or the majority identity. You become essentially one of them.
I've got a good story, which it's not good. It's quite horrifying, actually, which ties in all of this about what I said before about meeting other black folks and them having different boundaries. So I won't say names, but this is someone who... grew up, you know, around the Leeds area, in a little town outside Leeds, begins with a W.
Wakefield.
Okay, he lives in Wakefield. And he's a cool guy, innit? Like, every encounter I had with him was smooth. Now, there was a stage in second year where, shout out to my plug from Ghana, who we mentioned earlier.
Mm.
Oh.
Uncle.
He brought me back a...
Uncle Lipo.
Yeah, he brought me back a dashiki. Dashiki?
Yes.
He brought me back a dashiki, you know, so I wore it for like a... I was wearing it and, you know, people haven't seen it before, so, you know, they'd notice when I wore it. So it was a black dashiki. And then over the summer, this gentleman went to a party and it was a fancy dress party. Context, this person is half black, half white. So he went to a fancy dress party and someone at the party went in blackface. Back home.
Okay.
Went in blackface with the same dashiki that I used to wear. With a like plastic gold chain, so you blackface, plastic gold chain, dashiki, and a hip hop hat. Yeah, so so this person who dressed up, I don't know.
He saw Facebook, innit? And trying to be like you.
No,
like the Ghanaian friend.
No. Listen, so this guy who I knew from uni, half black, half white, he went home for a party. Now, this person who dressed up doesn't know me, doesn't know anything, but what he wore at the party was a dashiki, blackface, and like hip hop, like. £5 jewelry. Yeah, so he dressed up as a black person, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I expect a black person who's at the party to pattern him. Say, yo, what the hell are you doing? This is not okay. And then give him the whole spiel. Like, you don't have to hit him if you're not a violent person. But explain to him what it is that he's doing wrong. You know what this guy did? What? He snapped him and said, this guy came as Big John.
That's not your boy anymore, bro.
Yeah.
In fact, he even said he's a cool guy. He's not a cool guy.
He said, this guy came as Big John. Mm-hmm. And then I told it. He put on a story. He sent it to me because... that's the problem. He sent it to me thinking it wasn't a problem, which was the biggest red flag. No. That you don't see that someone's offending who you are.
Bro,
that this is who... try and dress up as a character of you.
I'm getting on the 1911 train to York and I'm going to meet you there, bro. I'm going to snap me.
Can I... but from that, I've got a question.
Yeah.
Do you think then there's a right way to integrate and a right way to assimilate? Well, first, let's say integrate if we're not talking about assimilation, because personally with me... I feel like I carry it not as a throwing shade to anyone else, but due to my experience and my background and my upbringing, I felt like I've got down to a T how to present myself in a way where if I do want to mingle with people who are white or Asian, I do in a way that they already know that A, will not even tolerate even like a poke to the hair, let alone blackface. And I feel like sometimes when I was at university, some people let too many certain things slide. Because I'm a big believer in seeing some the red did. Flags. Well, because I feel like there's certain things you will see. You're not dumb, and things slip out, especially Freudian slips. When people get too comfortable with you,
or had a bit to drink,
and or have a bit to drink, it slips. And some people will go, "Oh no, 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 leave it, leave it, leave it." Personally, I'm a big believer, whether it makes me look petty or not, to squash it then and there, so that you don't have further issues like that. Because to me, people may do that, may have that type of experience like you did, and almost completely go against the grain and decide not to integrate at all, not to even bother mixing with people who are white because they've had a bad experience.
Yeah.
But sometimes I wonder if there's actually a right way to integrate so that you can have a meaningful relationship with your white counterparts and not have to experience microaggressions like that.
So what's your question?
I wanted to ask you, do you think that you could have integrated with him?
I think it starts with you knowing who you are, you accepting who you are as well, because I do feel that if you weren't from a background where people around you were black, you never had an identity crisis where you're like, oh, how do I do my hair? Why is my hair different to Charlie's, just for argument's sake? Yeah. So when you do go to university, you're already used to having to fit in. So you're compromising who you are. I think the starting point is knowing who you are and understanding that, okay, like, cool, I can have all these friends from different backgrounds, but remember who I am and not to compromise that to fit in. I think that's where the starting point is. So whether that means, again, people don't see you saying turn the flash on as racism. Some people don't mind it. And who am I, if I see it happening, what I accepted is I have to let it slide because the black guy who you just told it to isn't offended. So who am I to then come as some police officer and say,
no,
you
but I'm
stop
not
there.
Saying for that other black guy, I'm saying for you in particular.
Don't say it to me.
Wait, can I address this? First of all, I'm a lighty, so if you would have don't know. So
no, you're not.
I don't really get this
no,
kind of
not.
Like flash.
He's not a lighty.
He's wearing a do-rag, I couldn't tell.
He's not a lighty.
Man, light skin still.
Go on, go on.
I think it's twofold. The first aspect of it is, if someone's faced with like, even microaggression or real aggression at uni from someone who's from a different race, maybe not white, any other race.
Any other race, just non-black.
The first thing that comes to your mind, if you're a conscious person who thinks about your future is, if I snuff this guy now because he made a slight comment to me, I could ruin my future.
But it's not snuffing.
Let me land. That's the first point. You're coming from your, I don't want to be like, not sexist, but you're coming from a female perspective where if a girl makes a funny comment to you or a guy makes a funny comment to you, you're not going to throw hands. But for me,
he's right.
It escalates. If someone tells me something about my, like a joke based on my colour, I will address it. But when I address it, I will know that it will probably escalate.
I have a story for this, but I don't know what to say on the podcast. Okay,
say it,
you're gonna
say it,
have
say
to you have to be clicky with the bleep button.
Man's quick
so
with
basically,
the bleep button.
Someone used the N-word in front of me about me, but he didn't say it. He was like, "Oh,
pause,
yo.
pause." Can you start from the beginning?
I can't give too much context because they're listening. I know.
Give names and we'll bleep the names. Don't worry about that.
No. Okay. My man.
Come on.
Right, your man, but he called you a nigger.
Oh, my days. I don't want to say his name.
He meant my man. You know, you're being petty. You know
you
what he did,
listen.
Bro. You're cheeky.
Yeah, some
scum. This
skull,
man.
Let him go.
This anyway,
man.
This geezer. You happy now?
Yeah.
This geezer.
Just chat.
Yeah. Said, yo, my N-word to me.
Wow.
After, like, we had a conversation, yo, my N-word. Now, what bro was saying just now about it being twofold where you could then be the stereotypical one, hit him, and then outside looking in is you're the aggressor. I'm 6'4". I'm conscious. Yeah, shout out to 6 foot gang, not beard gang yet. But shout out to everyone who like knows self awareness of who they are and knowing what it could look like if you react a certain way. So
I'm 6'3", by the way.
Was cool. I didn't respond. But what I did was, you know, he was in a relationship and that. Then, actually, can
don't
I say,
lie for the podcast. Tell exactly what you did. Don't edit out.
I did a mad thing.
Wow.
What did you do?
They were together, innit?
Yeah, you broke it. They were no longer together.
I wanted to say with your chest, who's they?
Listen, man, this bourbon is... Hey, where'd you get this bourbon from? Where'd you get this?
No. What did you do? Let me hear it. I want the full indictment.
I might get this with the biscuits. Yeah, man.
Wow.
But yeah, man. But listen,
man,
yeah. I agree with you.
Man, shaking, bro.
I'm stuttering.
Man, sugar.
But listen,
come on. What did you do?
But shout out to that situation.
They were no longer together. The situation was...
They were still together.
Let me clarify
wow,
it. Yeah. Certain man called him a nigger. He took that and rather than him
and
snuffing
gave the
him,
BBC to his girlfriend.
Hey, yo, what TV
well,
channel is that?
I was not going to say BBC, ITV, Channel 4. I was going to say
BBC
he
One.
He got with his... You're calling this thing A1? Wow. This drink got you moving mad. You're trying to move to my guy.
No, guys,
if you're listening, yeah, she just moved close to the man on the sofa. First, like, wow, buy him a drink first.
I know, get a couple biscuits, man. Yeah, go on.
Women are trash, bro.
Okay, you know what?
I'm going to use this opportunity to move on quickly.
I want to move on to something. Okay, yeah. Talk about integration. I think when it comes to our social life, it's very, very, very particular on the scenario. But what I want to talk about now in terms of integration, have you felt that being a minority in a majority white university has possibly given you issues when it actually comes to your academic achievement?
All right, let me go through that one first. For me, it's weird, but I don't know if it's a coincidence. I think it's not. But everyone in my accommodation that I chilled with was black. I think maybe 70% of the black people at York were in my accommodation when I first got there.
Mm-hmm.
So I just gravitated towards them. I chilled with them. Academically, mm-hmm. when I was in uni, I did law. I was with Jay, my other friend Ben. You'll hear about him next week.
Mm-hmm.
I was with all the black people.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like we stood out. But it didn't affect me academically because you had like anonymous sign-ins, things like that.
Well, because the reason why I asked this is that right now, I know you don't like me using stats, but as of 2013, they said that
well,
for
it's
every
2017,
six...
though.
But, okay, no, I can, they haven't released those stats yet, but...
I'm waiting on the email. You're dropping next week.
For 2013, at least.
Yeah.
60%, for every 60% of white graduates that actually did graduate...
Yeah.
Only 40% of black undergraduates graduated. And
so what, 60, that's 64, that's 100%, what do you mean?
Quick maths.
What I'm trying to get at is that it seems that despite us being there and even getting to the university, once we come out at the end, unfortunately, not everyone comes out with the degree in their hand, or at least a 2-1 or first, compared to their white counterparts. And what I'm asking is that whilst integrating into university, maybe dealing with all these slight microaggressions or whatnot, did this either affect your academic performance subconsciously, or was it that you were in a majority
I'll
white university?
No.
Therefore, you're with certain supervisors or something,
I can't blame on that.
Not
I blame
find
it
hard
on the
to
fact
communicate.
That I was in the club like every other day, even if
okay.
He definitely was out there. Here. You know, I'm gonna snitch. You know, they went a night out. There was a time in first year A where if you stalked a girl, I mean, if you preed, pardon
Jesus
me,
Christ.
You know, we're not using.
Because the thing is.
He was mutual friends with her every time. You're too
okay,
out
fine.
Man.
So you take it.
You
great.
Tagged in pictures. It's enough. Revise, books, study.
Okay, fine. Because
okay, my grades are popping though. So what are you saying now, G?
Okay, fair enough. Because I find it interesting because I feel with some of my peers that maybe because of the social media nowadays, a lot more people are open to talk about mental health illnesses.
Yeah.
And especially our university, unfortunately, our mental health illness services are not sufficient enough.
You know, you still go to that uni, right? You might want to... Like...
No, it's a known thing. It's not sufficient enough.
Yeah,
they
no,
are trying, but people of colour are finding it even harder to maybe, like, talk to their therapist or whatnot because they don't quite find that they can adequately... translate what they're going through and ensure that the other person can receive it in its totality and actually help them with the issues they do have. So I've noticed that I've had quite a few women of colour have to take leaves of absences, possibly more so than the white counterparts that I've heard of.
Yeah.
Due to the fact that they're not getting adequate help due to the fact that the people there aren't really listening to their concerns. As an example, there was someone when I was in second year and they were telling me that they went to see a counsellor, and because they were Asian, partially Asian, they immediately streamlined her into the homesickness division, where essentially they assumed that her issue was got to do with homesickness because most of the Asian, there's quite a few Asian students who are coming directly from China, and they think their issues are attributed to homesickness when it could actually be depression. And these type of assumptions made were actually not helpful for them at all, because rather than dealing with the issue at hand, they assumed it was something else. And as of last year, we had seven suicides, I'm going to say six suicides on campus, 50% of them were people of colour.
Yeah, that's disproportionate.
Which is quite a large thing. And I'm wondering that with the... I want to ask or just pose a question or make you think that, do you think that with integration and how hard it can be, it has affected possibly our graduation rates?
Again, I'll be honest, I never considered it holistically because it didn't affect me personally.
Okay.
In my personal opinion, me being black did not affect my studies at all.
Okay.
I don't know about you, H, but for me...
I mean, there's certain mechanisms in place, so whether or not you believe it, you've got anonymous submissions on coursework.
Yeah.
You don't put your name on the exam paper. Yeah. I wouldn't blame my blackness on any like shortcomings I had. I'll blame it on the fact that, like I said before, I was in the club for 5, even though I had a submission.
It'll be interesting to see what some of the girls would say, like, in my year to that.
I mean, you do a different course. Me and him did the same
course. I know, but the people that I know who do your course, who are my age, I feel like, you know, there have been times that I've had to switch supervisor because I didn't quite feel that my supervisor was quite understanding in totality what I was getting at, even when I was trying to lay it bare. And whilst I had white female peers who seemed to not have issues really with their supervisors really grasping the root of the issue of like what they're having with their course or generally living at university. So
hear what? I got one thing to respond to that, then we'll try and move on. Do you think that the hierarchy at uni are attentive to the fact that a person is black when dealing with them, or they deal with them based off their encounter with them? So say you have person A, person B. Person A has poor attendance, mm-hmm. but they're active in the clubs. You see them tagged in every photo.
Mm-hmm.
Person B like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they still go to like maybe 90% of their seminars.
Mm-hmm.
They get good grades. If person A has an infringement, gets into a fight or into an altercation or something,
freedom
with a teacher or a student,
mm-hmm.
but person B doesn't or does the same thing, gets mm-hmm. into a drunken fight. If person A is black and person B is white, do you think it's the colour that makes them want to exclude person A or the track record?
I honestly think, like I said before,
it's a track record.
It's society as well, because remember what I said before about the story about someone calling me the N-word and me understanding that, okay, even though I am expected to punch him and I know what it will look like, me, like my frame hitting this guy, I know people might not want to hear what happened, what was said, because to some people it is just a word. They don't understand that. What they don't appreciate what reaction I could have. So
no, but this guy will be getting like girls will be like my hero and they'll be hugging him and stuff. Like
okay, but
I feel like you have an agenda to just draw man out. Listen,
but honestly, with what you said,
yeah,
I think with it goes hand in hand, because person B on technically doesn't deserve or may be given a little bit more lenience because he does everything, but he intends all...
Person B goes to their seminars.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm about to get at. So because person B goes to their seminars and lectures, they get a bit more leniency, because whilst they've been seen to get into arguments and go out, there's not that much of a doubt over the academic focus because they go to seminars, whilst person A doesn't. And then that compounded by that person being black, I just feel unfortunately...
All right, let me give an anecdote, yeah? I won't lie. My attendance in first year was piss poor.
Right.
I can confirm. I used to never in my lectures.
Relax. I used to be seen going to get a trim for a night out, yeah? Rather than going to my lecture. I'd be walking past people who are going to lecture. I'd be going to get a trim.
Okay.
So when it came time now, I won't share too much on it yet. I'll give that testimony later on in it.
Yeah.
When it came time now, where I won't lie, I messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say what happened, but mm-hmm. people, you guys know what happened. I messed
mm-hmm.
up in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I wasn't surprised.
We had to change our clothes. Go on.
Wow. I wasn't surprised when the uni came down hard with me. They didn't kick me out or anything, but I got a severe warning.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't surprised because it wasn't the same as a drunken scrap between two white guys. Then white guys were going to lectures, even though they were going to lectures in the same clothes. They still go.
Yeah.
But I'll be in bed like playing NBA or something like that. And again, the trim instead. So I can deep it where my track record with attendance and whatnot, they didn't really know me like that. They just knew me as the guy that didn't come in. So they already had like a jaded or tainted opinion.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And then that compounded by you being black. So
was it my
colour
or was it my behaviour that made them decide to be more harsh on me?
I'll be honest. I think
it's your colour, because if you were white and they saw you getting into fights, but they saw that you never came into lectures, they'll probably call you in and ask to see if it's everything at home.
They called me in first. What I'm saying is though...
They did do all of that.
What I'm saying is that... At the time when it was happening, I was quick to go on the... I'm not saying that. I do understand there's structural racism within mm-hmm. the workplace
mm-hmm.
and uni, all the institutions. Institutional racism exists. What I'm saying is that at the time, I wasn't jaded, but I thought it's because I'm black, they're calling me in. But then I really sat down and deeped over the last year, Were they calling me in because I was black, or were they calling me in because?
But when they called you in,
they were getting negative feedback from me. I'll be honest, in the social perspective, and negative feedback from me in the academic.
I'll be honest, just looking at it blankly, forget your race. Look at the evidence, you know, yeah, as if it was a case in our degree. Yeah. You here is someone who got into a serious whatever incident that was. And you don't attend your lectures. You don't look like a serious candidate.
That's
so
what I'm saying.
It's easier for them to forget color. It's easier for them to say, right,
I'll
why are you here?
I'll just preface that by saying I did get my shit together at some point.
Listen.
One question I want to ask though, because race is important, yes, but I feel like, especially in today's world, let's say, for instance, the two people were white or the same color. Okay, no, let's go with white. If there's a student, and I have this because my friends are teachers, my mom was once a teacher, never attending lectures, gets into a fight, always goes out, but they had, let's say, good grades to get into the university and were seen as a very promising student. Before they give a severe warning, they will come in and try and seek and see if there's a problem underlying this, with that student. Did they give you that option?
My tutor was batting for me, and still, my tutor was like emailing back the head of the law school and stuff like that.
But what I will say, as far as your point, I do think, I don't want to draw us into a huge debate on this, but what I will say is, we do accept the right institution. There is institutional racism, mm-hmm, which we do have to combat against. And I know, I appreciate your point, but especially as black males, as far as how you react to certain people antagonizing you, there are institutional things in place which are pressed against you. But what I will say is, I don't support the whole people accepting that and then thinking it's a excuse to behave how you want to behave, but oh, I did a mad thing. Oh, they're just out to get me. Fuck feds, all this stuff.
It's about your own shit.
I respect your own journey in the last year where you've accepted, okay, cool, that could be the case, but I did something wrong. I have to take responsibility for it. And yeah, maybe they were prejudiced against me, but I shouldn't have given them a reason because actually did something.
I'll tell you what, in the last 6 months or so, where I look at where I'm now, where I came from in the last year, I really deeped it. Things could have gone left for men.
Yeah.
At the time, I was enjoying it. So I'll be doing all this stupid foolishness with people, going to the club and that, enjoying myself, whatnot.
Living your best life.
Well, my life's a movie. But doing all that. But then at the same time, I didn't think about the implications. Now when I sit down and think, things have worked out well for me. I don't know if it's God, obviously, or just little things like that. Things have worked out now. But when I look back sometimes and really reflect on where I've come in the last year, what's happened, there are certain aspects where I think, well, I could have done that. I could have gone this way. I could have done this instead. Mm. I think it would have been a lot easier for me, a lot quicker. So in that sense, it's harder for a black man to sit back and reflect and say, because you're black, this happened to you. I know sometimes that...
That is the case sometimes, but that don't like the... Sometimes the self-hatred that comes with it where... You've done something wrong, but you're already saying fuck fez. No, don't say fuck. You deserve the 3 years, two with good behavior. You did something wrong. Why is it now the judge's fault that he did you?
I mean, from my experience, because you might know why I do that kind of thing. We won't get into that, but from my experience, the issue of institutional racism does not happen upon the event occurring.
Yeah.
The racism will kick in now when it's time to give consequences.
Yeah.
So when you're doing all your fuckery, you're doing whatnot.
Yeah.
They'll be seeing it. They'll be looking. Okay, cool. But when it's time to punish you now.
Overly harsh.
They have all the evidence in front of them. They'll say, right, you did X, Y, Z, and this is why you're going to get this punishment. It's harsher, but you can't really dispute it because you've done X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
No, that's my point.
Really. Oh, yeah. But yeah, that segues perfectly onto our next segment, Free Meek Mill. Now have the Artist of the Week segment. We've got a special treat for you guys, introducing the Moscow 17 Music Movement. I mean, we're talking 3 million YouTube views. We're talking 2 million SoundCloud streams. We've got an exclusive from the man himself, Mr. Vladimir Putin, SP17.
General.
His tune with Karma Cruz, No One. Let's have a listen.
And I put my trust up in no. And I put my trust up in no.
I don't put my trust up in no. I don't put my trust up in no one.
Only trust in the man upstairs. They don't ever wanna see me shine. They don't ever wanna see me fly. They just wanna put an end to me. Them boy are not friends to me. See, I make money, find girl, come and
why they still hate. Yeah. Always smiling in my face, but it's fake. Probably cause it's fat boy, yeah, I really get paid. Probably cause it's B, I'm still ruling my case.
On the phone to babe, and the money cools. I just tell my baby, hold on. I've been on my grind for days, no outfits change. I've been grinding here for so long.
Balenciaga runners when I'm stepping. Every breath that I take is a blessing. And more time I don't lack, even in my girl's back or my waist where I'm holding my weapon. But why these youths wanna act like that? Jealousy can make a man go mad.
Tell mom, keep these youths away from me.
Can't lie, I do not like them, man.
Alright, I wanna jump straight into the. We won't call it a critique, because that's the big G right there. What's your take on that? What do you think? I'll start with A, because you're not really familiar with drill music per se. What do you think of that?
What's your first reaction? This is your first listen.
Yeah.
I felt like I sound like an amateur, but for a second I thought it was Kojo.
Wow.
I mean, you know, that's
there's
good.
A similar flow or similar vibe, but I mean, someone could dispute. This is not my area of expertise.
Fair
but
enough.
I dislike the song.
Do
I like it.
From a producer point of view on that?
Go on.
I feel like, so artists like Kojo Funds, Jay Haas, Notes, Young Bane have kind of paved the way in this kind of genre.
The drill?
No, they call it Afro Swing.
Oh, Afro Swing.
So when you're hearing the background, on the chorus, on the hook, and even the backing track on that, it's a very Afro Swing type beat.
Yeah.
But when it comes to drill now, the bars he's given are still drill based on top of
definitely.
The Afro.
But
it's on so a different I thought this is like a different lane for SP17, if you didn't shout out his name.
Yeah.
But he's doing things I haven't really seen done before. I've never seen a man spit drill bars
on a finger
on
tune,
an Afro Swing tune.
I mean, I spoke to him earlier in the weekend. I definitely said, because I went to school with him, there may or may not be a tune with me and him in year 9, which I will leave before when he's nominated for.
Wow.
But,
don't worry.
I need to.
Big Jay can spit bars. He did it on the taxi here.
I need to secure the bag. But listen, yeah, I spoke to him earlier in the weekend. He said the life he's living, which is whatever, is he's kind of pocket-holed himself into spitting drill, which is doing well for him, as I said before, you know, very popular.
Millions of views.
Yeah, millions of views. However, I do think sonically, this is his lane. This sort of music is his lane. And it is refreshing to hear someone talk that stuff on this kind of beat.
I'll dispute that.
Go on.
For me, I think like when it comes to drill, he's one of the coldest you can like,
yeah.
Not sure bread the man or but he's like one when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So I feel like the versatility is because he's musically gifted.
Yeah.
So this might be his lane to you when you hear it.
Yeah.
But I feel like he shouldn't get bogged down or pigeonholed into one specific genre. He should try like do drill rap. He's tried using the singing thing. Cause I heard man singing at the beginning. Like he should do everything.
Yeah, he's got a vocal cord. Yeah, vocal cord. Yeah, I definitely agree. But as far as this drill thing, on a wider point, just aside from his music itself, but I do feel like people look down on drill music as if it's like a dirty genre of music. As if these guys don't have millions of views. Like,
should I give my first reaction when I heard the first like UK drill tune, because obviously we heard like Chief Keef, all that, like.
I think people see it as a secondary to the US scene.
No,
I disagree.
For the like the fact that when I first had my first drill tune, I think it was 6-7. I probably was.
Yeah.
When I first heard it, I was like, "What is like?" Because I'm used to like I like chill R&B kind of thing. When I heard that, I was like, "This is disgusting."
Soft. Go on.
Yeah, wow. It sounds like little Marvin Gaye Chardonnay. When I first heard it, I was like, wow, this is disgusting. Like, I did not like it. But I really sat down and thought about it. I listened to what they were saying. And that's the life they live, fair enough. But I feel like they've managed to take a unique way of incorporating what they really do, their life, and their music, which isn't the same for most other genres of rap.
Exactly. It's a raw reflection of what they're living. Like, shout out to Bishop Harlan Spartans. He definitely made the Uber ride here quite enjoyable.
Wow.
Shout out to the cab driver. He was bumping his head, you know.
Muhammad was bopping his head, you know.
Yeah, he was bumping his head. Yeah. It was out of rhythm, but, you know, he's trying. You know?
I gave him one star.
He had too many things going on.
I was off beat, bro.
He couldn't do it on rhythm.
I was made us crash.
But yeah, they're literally, this is a reflection of what they're living in. People have an opinion about what they're saying. Oh, is this, it's not positive. Then change their environment. There's a famous gigs quote. He says, when I live in Disneyland, I'll rap about Mickey Mouse.
There you
Until
go.
Then, I'm going to rap
out
about
the landlord.
Moving. Yeah, shout out to landlord, man. Listen, shout out to all the Sony Ericssons, you know, back in 05, 06. Wow. You know, there were definitely files shared.
Okay, so jumping off the Afro Swing thing, there was a video. I know you lot saw it, I put it in the group and I shared it like vehemently with Vim.
Yeah.
There was a group, there was like a video from, I'll just say the name. It was Belly Squad and Section Boys.
Yeah, I mean, it was filmed with a toaster. I think it was filmed with A's phone.
A man said a toaster?
It was filmed with A's phone.
Wait, no, no, wait, Paul, did man say they filmed, it was filmed with a toaster?
Yeah, I think it was filmed with A's phone, that Motorola, because the visual quality on that was.
If you jump on our social media, we're going to post the link to it.
Yeah, I mean, you hate to see it.
I don't want people to ride on me.
I'll forgive them because their other visuals are quite good, but that was.
This is the. I'll give my take on it. This is the most shambolic visuals I have seen in my entire life. That man had plastic bags on the table. And they weren't put there to like fit in with the aesthetic. That man forgot to move the plastic bags.
All sorts of rubbish. You hate to see it.
No, it's more than that, bro. I know you're gonna give me a red card in a second. Yeah. But let me land first. From start to finish, I was vibing with the song. The song was hard. It's how it was called, like when the sun goes down, something like that.
Mm.
Something like that. But going into just like that, on the eyes, visuals are so important when you're a major artist. I won't comment too much on the girls that had in the video because...
Nah, the girls were not up to scratch.
Okay, you can say that. But I mean...
Wow.
Like, okay, she opened the door. I was seeing girls wearing sunglasses at night time. That's what I want to say. Like,
they look like Chelsea and Tina.
Wow, the views of A are not the views of the down in diaspora, however you say it. Podcast,
carry on. I remember when I was younger, like, you see Video Vixen, you'd be like, wow, I want to be them. They
shout out to Tahiri Jose, you know.
You know, with the Melissa Fours, the Tay Peckers. But I was just looking, I enjoyed like, YouTube wow, back then. Like, you know. Even America, okay.
Tahiri, if you're
America,
listening.
I don't know the UK names too well, but they were beautiful. Let's but now Tisha I'm Grace. Looking at girls like, raw, like, she was at desk. Okay, okay, day, cool. Like,
what I took from it
Lira
was.
Lira Galore, it's about respect.
Wow. What you trying to slide in? You ain't even got the
J. Rocondo on Snap if you're interested.
What I took from it was, I won't lie, yeah. Some of these girls, you saw like they just picked them at the off license. Like,
that's what I just said. That's what Tesco the other day.
Wow, Tesco.
Tesco, the superstore still.
I mean, listen, for me, with the growth of YouTube, I mean, I think visuals are important, but the music, the most important thing is you said you like the tune.
Yeah, you
so
like
the for
tune.
You, what it might be is you're going to listen to it on SoundCloud or Apple Music. You're not going to listen to it
on Spotify,
YouTube.
But
yeah.
Not on YouTube. But no, I don't
need to. Let me put my artist out on, yeah? So 5 views with me, 5 plays on my SoundCloud.
You say 5 as in
5.
Lower than 6, higher than 4.
As in half of 10.
Listen, let's get Harry to 7. Come on, man.
Come on, man. You know, like and share my mixtape, bro. I've been struggling out here, bro.
Let's get him to 7. Start that hashtag on.
But when I put that music hat on, I do a bit of songwriting and stuff. Like Chris, right? He will know what I'm talking about. Obviously,
shout out to Chris in the studio, Black Kite Productions. My engineer. Came through with the Bourbons. So respectful.
Like when you take the step in to be able to make visuals nowadays, you're the man in that lane to make a visual.
Yeah.
I feel like most artists, when they do visuals, like you saw J Hus's Buff Daddy one, innit?
Mm.
That was the coldest video I've seen from the UK.
His budget might be bigger.
Obviously, he spent bags. So you got that. Yeah. I don't know what his pocket's saying, but man's got the label. All sorts like.
He saw what he done. Yeah, two
wow.
You know,
all them things come into play.
Mm.
But you don't know that some artists like make videos for like £60, £100, one bill. Like Skepta did, what's it? That's not me. £60, there you go.
£60.
That video is cold.
Yeah, I think it won an award as well. Won a mobile.
So is it really an excuse to say, oh, I don't have the budget behind me right now, but I'm going to put out this video anyway and have it be trash? Or could they do about the goals and... I won't say cringy, but the style, could they do without it? Could they just have their man doing the song without?
I'll closely monitor their next video because I'll be honest, their visuals in the past have been like Belly Squares. I think video before that was filmed abroad and it looked very nice.
I thought that the Seafall tune.
Yeah, like so I'll allow them. They've got credit.
That's why I was shocked because Section Boys aren't, their visuals are good. I think he's like that Caleb Dennis guy. He's very cold. He's a very
shout
cold.
Shout out to K-Trap, coldest body, yeah.
I was like K-Trap, bro.
Coldest body.
Their visuals are normally top notch. I don't want to discredit the person who made the film because, like, you know what? Like, sometimes you might turn up the film and they might tell you I want it like this, and because you might just go with it. Mm. Well, definitely what you said. We'll watch for the next video, and if it's cold, we'll tell you it's cold. We're not hating on them, but you know.
But yeah, man, it's been your first podcast down in the last. Oh, man.
Wow.
Listen, man, we be drinking Moscato and Bourbons, you know.
Even when we're sober, you're still going to be
shout
struggling.
Out to the Bourbons in the building, man. So, yeah, man, it's been a pleasure. Hope you've enjoyed the episode. Like the Facebook page, share and subscribe. It's been Down in Diaspora.
What's up with you? Won't stop loving you. Why you want me to? What's the motto? What's up with you? Won't stop loving you. Why you want me to? What's the motto? much of you is. See from Malibu, she wanna hang out with the cookie.